Well, it's going to take us 7 days to complete how to hear the voice of God. However, we have treated how to hear the voice of God in this church. I treated it, Pastor Mercy treated it, Pastor Ben treated it. When I was learning how to hear the voice of God, Creflo Dollar did some teachings on how to hear the voice of God. Kenneth Hagin did some teachings on how to hear the voice of God. Kenneth Copeland did some teachings on how to hear the voice of God. Rick Warren did. I had to buy all of them. Reason. Jesus said the secret to his success. Please, can they put on the timer, right? 1 hour. Jesus says the secret to his success is that he can hear the voice of God. If you hear that Dangote is coming to this church today, you're not coming because he's going to dash you some money. You're practically coming because you want to hear the key things that made him Dangote. Or if you hear that the richest woman in Africa is coming to this church to speak, everybody will gather. He's not going to share millions. She's not going to share millions. But you want to hear what is it that she did that you need to do. And the greatest success story we have on earth today is Jesus. And Jesus said, the secret to my success is that everything I ever saw my Father do, that's what I did. Question, how did he say it? In 2017, I don't want to do a lot of trial and error. I want to hit one and get it. And the only person who have been on this earth before now is God the Father. He's in the past. He was in the past. He's in the present. He's already in the future. I'm trying to get into the future. I can't go back to the past except through inner healing. And that's healthy going back. I don't even know what's going to happen the next minute, but the Father knows. So which means one of the best decisions anybody can make for himself in 2017 is to pick up skills, learn everything. But the greatest skill, the mother skill for everything, is you need to hear his voice to know the doctor that shouldn't treat you. You need to hear his voice to know that the car you shouldn't enter. You need to hear his voice to know when you shouldn't step out. You need to. You need to hear the voice that says, stay at home today. How do I hear that voice? And how do I differentiate that voice from this voice? You need to know the voice that says, take your money off MMM. For those of you who put. There must have been a voice that says, take your money 2 weeks ahead of time. We need to hear that. For those of you who are putting in NNN and yes, whatever it is you are putting, I'm giving you a skill on what to do now. You really need it. You need to know the voice that tells you the mechanic not to put your car in. You need to know the voice that tells you who not to bring in into your closest power. Except some of them are supposed to be there to kill you so that you will save the whole world. However, there's nobody whose name is Jesus. Even if someone said, even if they said you will kill Jesus, they said someone will kill Jesus, they didn't pull your name. They didn't say Judas, you will kill Jesus. Anyway, so you need to know when to leave Jesus around your Judas around your circle so he can kill you for you to save everybody. It's important. Some enemies are good. Do you understand? You need to know when to have a Thomas around you who can doubt you. So that's why we're talking about how to hear the voice of God. Tonight, put your hands together for my pastor. All right? Sit down. There are so many places that Christianity cannot enter today because they don't like the name Jesus. But if Google is in that place, they can hear the voice of God. The biggest and the largest name today on how to hear the voice of God is Mark Vickler. If you go to Google today and put how to hear the voice of God, the first person that will come out is Mark Vickler. Mark Vickler has built a university from how to hear the voice of God, Christian Leadership University, and have started so many things from how to hear the voice of God. And I was trained in July by Mark Vickler himself. So I'll be telling you, I'll be teaching you from what Mark Vickler taught me. You know, it was Paul that said, I was trained by Gamaliel, that I'm a student of Gamaliel. So I'll be teaching you from that. I'd like to appreciate my pastor for the privilege to stand on the pulpit and share with you. Mark Vickler said he spent about a year or thereabout, he's more than 20-something years now practicing this thing that we're teaching you. More than 20-something years. By the time he did the video, it was 26 years. But he's much more than that now. He has succeeded with it. If you go and Google Christian Leadership University, you will see it. He said there was nothing he did not do on how to hear the voice of God. People who used to hear the voice of God, he will ask them. They will tell him, you will know that you 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 can hear his voice. And at the end of the day, he didn't hear anything. He was more confused. However, he heard something that said if he could do a focused learning on vision, dreams, he should just check all of that. It was in the middle of that that God came out. And then he still didn't quite know what to do until eventually the Jesuits of the Catholic Church, two Jesuit priests were organizing a program. The name of the program, how to hear the voice of God and how to do inner healing. So he decided to attend. On attending the program, they were teaching about how to hear the voice of God, but something shocked him. They were using holy water. They prayed, brought the water and blessed it. And he was put off by that behavior. And when he got home, something said to him, what is the difference between the holy water and the holy handkerchief that you people use? He said to him, okay, is it because they are not of your denomination? That's why you are angry with the holy water. He said, God said to him, what's the difference? So he relaxed. That's how he learned from a Catholic. He learned how to hear the voice of God from a Roman Catholic Jewish priest. So that's what I'll be teaching you today. All right? He said, after he learned that thing, he spent 1 year on focused learning. He read everything he could see on how to hear the voice of God. He studied and did extensive research and narrowed it to the 4 points that we're going to be using today. So our scripture is Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. So we just drive four keys out of it and we're good to go. Praise the Lord. Habakkuk chapter 2, 1 and 2. Okay, I'm not a fan of NLT. Give me the New American Standard Version. It says, number one, everybody, let's read together, one to go. I will stand on my guard post and station myself, everybody, on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he may speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. The next verse. Inscribe it on tablets that the one who reads it may run. Praise the Lord. So we're going to take these two scriptures and derive how to hear from God from these scriptures. Are you happy? Yes. Smile. Smile is not, you don't pay money to smile, Nigerians. Smile. Smile means just shift your cheeks by the two sides and then white thing will come out in front. Smile now. Good. So let's look at verse 1. How to hear the voice of God. The first one, he said he noticed that the first way to hear the voice of God came from the first phrase, I will stand on my guard post. Say, I will stand on my guard post. And he said that this stand on my guard post simply means to quiet yourself in the presence of God. To quiet yourself in the presence of God. And in Psalm 46 verse 10, he said, be still and know that I am the Lord. While I was being trained as a young believer, one of the things my pastor trained me to do is that whenever I want to pray, we should quiet ourselves before God. I had a challenge with that because I have heard over time that if you quiet yourself before God, if you keep quiet, demons will jump inside you, that demons will take over your mind. So each time I'm told to quiet myself, yes, I'll keep quiet in my mouth, but I'll be talking in my heart. I'll just be talking. I couldn't be quiet until I discovered that the Bible says about God, it says, will you ask me for the Holy Spirit and then I will give you evil spirit. Will you ask me for stone? For bread, I will give you stone. Will you ask me for fish? I will give you snake. And now down on me that God, who created you, your father, will never allow an evil spirit to occupy your mind, to come into your mind and take over your mind. My second challenge is my rationalism. I didn't understand the closeness between, the link between being quiet and hearing from God. I didn't understand it. I also came from a background. I was trained by someone who believed that a lot of prayers should be said in silence. So we are trained to pray in silence. And I didn't understand how you keep quiet and then God will hear your prayer. My charismatic background taught me that if I want to pray, I will make adequate noise and use my mouth and use my hands and use everyone. That's my charismatic background. However, the Catholic priest that trained me taught me that when you want to pray, just be quiet and ask the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to lead you in prayer. And then he taught me that you should now flow with the leading of the Holy Spirit, which is not different from what McVicker was talking about. My mind could not accept that fact. My mind became a prison. It became a stronghold to hearing from God. There is no way I could hear from God by just, I will come before God and I will keep quiet. How do I come before him and keep quiet and expect to hear him? I had to ask that the Lord will help me break down the stronghold of my mind. It took me time to accept in my heart that if you keep quiet, you are praying. Even when I listened to Mark, it took me time. And yet I was going back to my original training that when you want to pray, I didn't say you should do it. I'm telling you where I'm coming from. That it took me time to accept that keeping quiet is prayer. Because you could keep quiet for almost 5 minutes until you feel the flow. That's the way I was trained. However, when the stronghold, many of us rely on our reasoning when we want to interpret the things of God, forgetting that your mind is too small to interpret this God that is too great, the only wise God. When I submitted my mind to God and repented of the fact that stand at my God, stand, he didn't say talk, just stand at my God. I had to repent of the fact that if I want to hear from God, I will be talking, he will be talking at the same time. I had to say, Lord, I ask you to forgive me, and I ask you to bring me out of the stronghold that makes me think that you could be lying. He said, I will stand. That's not what we do most times. We don't really stand on our guard post to hear. What do? We talk. So we come before God, we just keep talking. We come before God, we just keep walking about. You know, Pentecostals, all of us have been trained that when you pray, you must walk about. And somehow, when we come to church, people are not walking about. You just feel that the person is not praying. And so some of us, it has become a habit. Like Pastor was preaching on Sunday, that when they say, everybody lift up your mouth to pray, and then everybody just says, the reason why you're praying in tongues is because you don't have something to say. And then you can keep on that tongues, your mind is not there. You are just lambasting off somewhere and your mind is not there, but you are talking. And then when you finish, you say, I came for the 12 hours prayer, nothing happened. No, you didn't talk. You said something that is convenient. And we have been taught in church that whenever you say, everybody pray, you find out that we're just walking. Even if we're not led to walk, we just walk. May God help us to repent in the name of Jesus. Amen. How many of you want to repent? Can you stand on your feet? And say, Father, today, in the name of Jesus, I repent of the fact that if I stand, I might not hear God. Lord, today I declare, I will stand on my guard post. I will station myself and I will hear you. Amen. Number two, we're going to the key point number two. The key point number two, it says, I will keep watch to see. Number one is, I will stand. Number two is, I will keep watch to see. Ladies and gentlemen, number two key, if you really want to hear the voice of God, is look for vision as you pray. Look for vision as you pray. Use the eyes of your heart. I don't know whether you have listened to Pastor Ben when he says that you don't just have five senses. This is not just a set of eyes you have. You have these eyes and you have another two somewhere. You have these ears and you have another two somewhere. You have this, everything, your senses, it is multiplied somewhere. Now, we have been told that we actually live in space, time, energy, and mass. Space, time, energy, and mass simply means your five senses, your taste, your smell, your hearing, and all of that. That's time, energy, space, time, energy, and mass. You know, what is matter? Matter is anything that have weight and can occupy space. So if something does not have weight and can occupy space, it's not real. So which means that in the physical world, there are two worlds. In the real world, that is the world you call the real world, the world you can see. Everybody listen to me because I'm going scientific as well. You see that in this real world, I can taste, I can sense, I can feel, I can hear. This is time, space, energy, and mass. This is, but when you start shifting, there is another world, there's a second world. The second world is larger than this other world. The world of time, space, energy, and mass is smaller than the other world that is much, much larger. Now, in that world that is much, much larger, everything that happens in that place, you don't feel it in time. You don't feel it in 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. Now, you don't feel it in matter. You don't feel it in space, in your room. It means it has to radiate from the spirit through your spirit, from the spirit realm through your spirit before it can hit energy, time, space. Do you understand that? It has to go from this place to this place. Ladies and gentlemen, our problem is that we live here. We live energy, time, space, energy, and mass. So if something happens here, we need to transport it to the other way. So if you're going to hear the voice of God, what you need to understand is that you must begin to look for vision. Notice that when you start doing this, originally, you will not be seeing his face. You will see his white dress. You will see his parts. But the more you do it, the more his face will begin to show. Because we go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. That's how the second thing to do. You fix your eyes on Jesus. And I've shown you how to do that. Take any of the scriptures, put yourself in the character. And for you to do this, you must have the heart of a child, the mind of a child. Because if you think that you are bigger than God, you will not be able to see anything. When you put yourself in that position, then you pop up the question. Lord, should I relocate or should I stay? Lord, should I marry Charles Ekor Sohi or should I marry Benson Ahigbe? Then, the moment you do that, I'm going to the third one. I won't go to the third one until I say this. In this church, we taught you how to develop your spirit man. We taught you the three keys. If you go there and ask them for the 30 days with the Holy Spirit, one of the topics is how to train your spirit. Because training your spirit helps you to live more from the spirit realm. Okay, let me bring it to today's world. The Bible says, out of your belly shall flow what? So where are you supposed to live from? From your head or from your belly? I'm going to call again. Out of your belly shall flow what? Where are you supposed to live from? From your brain or from your belly? Okay, so if I put it again and I say, how are you supposed to live from? From your head or from your heart? Majority of people say, no, the Bible says the heart of man is very deceitful. I don't need to follow my heart. There's also another scripture that says, I will give you a new heart. Is that correct? Is that correct? So, which means that when you are born again, you have the Holy Spirit of God fused into your spirit. So, you don't have the heart you used to have before. You now need to live out of that place. Remember, for you to do it is a skill. You need to be trained on it. How do you train your spirit? Because if the first key is that you need to vision, the second key, the first key is you need to be quiet. The second key that you need to fix your eyes, that's vision, on Jesus. And fixing your eyes until you see him and then you pop up the question. So quench means it's not your physical eyes you're using. It's a different kind of set of eyes you're using. And if that set of eyes, if you want to be proficient with it, it also means you need to train it. Ladies and gentlemen, if this is your hand and you don't use this hand and you don't use it for 3 months and you keep it like this, doctor, what will happen? For 1 year, you keep your hand like this. What will happen? It won't work again. It won't work. So there's no accident in the hand. That's why the Bible said, people who by reason of use, the more you use, the more you come into use. Pastor Wendy said something while she was teaching in Abuja. You know what she said? She said, when you say misuse, it doesn't mean that the thing is not useful. It just means that you put it in the wrong use. He said, remove it from the wrong use and put it in the right use, it will be useful. And she said, when you say something is useless, doesn't mean the thing is stupid. It just means that the thing is used less. Most times, majority of us, our spirits, man, are used less. We use our eyes, we use our ears, we use our nose, we use everything, and never ever use the eyes of our spirit. So when it comes time for you to make a major decision, you find out that you're saying, oh, Pastor Ben, can you see for me? Oh, Pastor Messi, can you see for me? Pastor Pamela, can you see for me? The Bible says the spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are sons of God. So which means that somewhere in your prayer closet, the Holy Spirit must have said that thing to you before. How come you didn't hear? Your spirit is used less. I didn't say your spirit is useless. It's useless. So how do you now put your spirit in more use? If you pay my ticket to Bahamas, I can tell you. There are 4 keys to do it, but I won't tell you. If you are interested in it, go to Fem Foundation and look for 30 Days of the Holy Spirit. Look for the topic, how to train your spirit. It will give you the keys on how to use your spirit fully and stop using it less. So the first key is to stand, quiet yourself. The second key is to fix your eyes on Jesus and pop up the question. All right? So let's talk more about this. The people who have challenged with this are people who are very, very rational, or the people who are left-brained. If naturally you are a thinker, you will think what I'm teaching is very, very stupid, because everything you do in life, you do from a thinking, a rationalization perspective. People who are naturally seers, who are naturally visuals, they don't have a problem with this. You know why? Everything they do from the right brain. But you must now repent and say to God, because I am very, 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 very rational, 2 plus 2 must be 4, 5 plus 5 must be 6, it doesn't mean that I cannot use the part of me that is emotional. We will have to repent of that, because how your brain sets is how your life follows. The moment your brain says, I cannot, everything in your body will shut down. For those of you who do any kind of exercise, if you wake up in the morning and then you want to get to start skipping, and your brain says, I'm tired, your legs will say, it's true. Your body will say, my body is even paining me. Your waist will say, I'm having waist pain. Just because your brain said, I'm tired. If your brain said, I'm tired, and something says, no, I have energy, your leg will say, I can do it. Everything about your life will say, I can do it. And there is a sister that is doing a strong research on the brain, and she is using the Bible to do it. Her name is Caroline Leaf. You may need to check her up on YouTube or read her book, Switch on Your Brain. She's doing amazing things. She will take a scripture, take the brain, do research on the brain, and put it together. And said, the Bible said, if you say this, this will happen. The Bible said, as he thinks in his heart,
so shall he be. He will take the brain cells, and then he will show, she will show that the moment that the stems in your brain, the moment you begin to think negatively, all of a sudden, the stems, all of them will be dark. The moment you start thinking, all of them will be green. The green cells automatically will become. She did a powerful research on that. You may need to look on it. So that you don't think that the Bible is only for mediocres. Fix your eyes on Jesus. That takes me to the third point. The third point is simply what he will speak. The first point is I will stand on my guard. The second point is that I will keep watch to see. The third point is this, what he will speak. Now there is something in you that is called the flow. And it corresponds with John chapter 7. He says, out of your belly shall flow. Is that correct? Out of your belly shall what? Flow. Beautiful. Let me try something on everybody here. Have you ever done anything and you were doing it with ease and so efficiently and with creativity? On Saturday, I was doing my television broadcast and they were watching me. By the time I finished, they started clapping. I said, what happened? He said, now, you get them. I said, for the past 1 hour, I've been talking. He said, now you were flowing. You were just effortlessly flowing. You know what happened? I entered the flow. I know the difference when I'm preaching from flow and when I'm not preaching from flow. You have more creativity. You are more efficient. It not just happens with preaching. It happens in the medical profession. You know when you are in the flow. It happens to the mechanic. You know when you're in the flow. It happens to the poet. You are reading a poem. You know when you enter the flow. It happens to the marketer. You're marketing medication. You're marketing drugs. All of a sudden, you are talking. When you enter the flow, you know. At times when you finish saying, now me talk this thing. Because you know that this point is not you now talking. It is something that took over your mouth to talk. Now, if you want to hear the voice of God, you must learn, recognize when you have tuned into flow. Because the first point is that you quiet yourself in his presence, you're waiting. The second one is that you fix your gaze on Jesus. And I've told you that you can use scriptures to do that. Now, while you are there, you're thinking about, okay, my four friends gathered around me. I am the man that is lying down. While you are meditating, I don't know whether it happens to you, those of you going to meditation, you find out that from you are meditating, all of a sudden you go into flow. Does it happen to you? And some words, you know how to meditate for this church. If you don't meditate, it means that you're planning to be very, 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 very poor and fail. It says, the book of the Lord shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate therein day and night that you may know. So, which means when you meditate, there is something you know. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us. Then shall we know if we continue to know. Ladies and gentlemen, there is something to know. There is something to continue to know. The word know came from the word intimacy. The Bible says Adam knew his wife. He's not just talking about head knowledge. It's talking about knowing the person and the power of the Holy Spirit by a definite experience. You can come to church and never have an experience. It is when you have an experience that you say you know. So when God is talking to you, when you are in the flow, you are meditating, or you're even meditating about the woman at the well, you put yourself in the setting that you're the woman at the well, you're in the meditation, you're going, all of a sudden, phew, you find out that words begin to leap out of from there itself. You can go into prayer. And by the time you look at the wristwatch, you have prayed for 1 hour, 30 minutes. And it will look just as if it is 30 minutes. And then sometimes when you get into prayer, you pray and pray and pray and pray. And look at your watch. It's 10 minutes. And you told yourself that I prayed for 1 hour. You are not in the flow. And you come to church and then they are just singing and clapping. You alone now. Well, then sometimes, I want to say it in which the music will enter your body, you go just they dance, they go. So at that time, they go, it will be like say they force you come to. You are not in the flow, you are in you. And you don't have strength for that kind of thing. Just fight against God. If you must hear the voice of God, you must recognize when you have entered the flow. And when you have entered that flow, some things will just begin to pass through your mind. The third point, write it down. That's what it means by verse 2. Record it. So I'm going to take it again. The first point is that you must quiet yourself before God. If you want to hear his voice, except not talking voice in one ear. If it is God's voice you want to hear, you must quiet yourself. And then, let me tell you how we do it. We put on a worship song. It helps us to get into the flow. The second thing you must do, if you want to hear the voice of God, is that you must look for vision. You must fix your eyes on Jesus. If you are the kind of person that can use your mind and create a scene, and then in that scene, you are able to find Jesus in the scene. Okay, but the easiest way is just take a scripture. And I thank God we are reading the Bible now. I thank God. God is good. He has done us well. Oh, our souls, rise up and thank God. Because majority of us have programmed and renewed our minds. Do not be conformed any longer to the patterns. For those of us, is to the patterns of the Bible. Be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind through football, African Cup of Nations. You don't watch the team, watch and watch and watch. Some of us is, what's the music channel called again? Huh? How you tell no? Some of us have so improved our minds by MTV bass. And have you noticed something about most of these songs that these people do? Most times they use the ninth chord. And the thing about that ninth chord is, once he enters, to remove it, he go be like say he go for inner healing. There are many songs, the song don't hold. I'm still trying to dig them out of my heart. Anywhere that song plays, you still see you will not remember that you are born again. You will not change. Are you still here? I was told about a children's church that a little boy was told that he should come and lead worship. They said, everybody close your eyes, and they close their eyes, and the boy lifted his eyes. Chineke mo, yori yori. Now, you don't really blame the boy. Chineke did the song. So, is it not a church song now? Chineke did the song. And then they were laughing. The boy was not laughing because he thought it's a church song. But you know that song must have been played in his house and played in the house. I say, me, your pastor, my neighbor, used to every December, Bedu, serious Bedu, they will pack the song together. It will be moving from one to the other. In the middle of the night, everywhere is quiet. It will be moving. My whole house go they shake. Woman of God woke up to pray to God and sat down and lifted my hands unto my mighty Father to bless him and thank him. I didn't know that my mind was singing. Make I tell you the coco. I don't sing at halfway. Now I can't remember. I said, no, be church song. I said, I bind the spirit in the name of. But the fact we say, how come I know the song? It is somewhere. That's why they say you should read the Bible. The Bible says, how can a young man clean his ways? Are you still here? So the person that told you to read the Bible, give him a seed though. Because there are some things, there are some Boko Haram things hiding somewhere. So that the word of God will just help you to clean it. Now they said the second way you hear from God is fix your eyes on Jesus. You see, now you have a lot of Bible stories. You have so many Bible stories. My son asked me yesterday, what is the age difference between Moses and Aaron? I wanted to say, let me go. Pastor Mercy was around. He said 3 years. I said, yes, we know it. I don't know. But they don't ask you a question, you won't understand it. So the second way you know the Bible, you hear the voice of God, is to fix your eyes. Say vision. Say vision. So take any of the Bible stories you have learned, you have read, and recreate it, put yourself in the center. And then the third way is, while you are meditating, recognize when you enter spontaneity, because the voice of God is actually spontaneous thoughts that leap up on your mind, according to Mike Vickler. That's not my trying interpretation, so I won't plagiarize someone. All right, the third way, the voice of God. So someone ever asked you, how does the voice of God sound? I used to think that when God wants to talk to you, you hear Katharina. So I didn't hear that, so I felt God was not talking, especially having watched all the Hollywood about the Ten Commandments, and I saw how God was talking there. So all the things I heard wasn't sounding like that, and nobody was really telling me step one, step two, step three. So I made a lot of mistakes trying to find the voice of God. The moment you get there, spontaneous thoughts begin to shoot through your mind, and then what you really need to do is you need to write it down. Don't worry whether it's God or not. There is something you can do with it. If you look at this journal, this our you need to get a copy. This is a valuable resource that even after this January, it will still help your family. It will help you. It can help you to train your children on how to hear the voice of God. It's important that you get it. And like Pastor said yesterday, you can pay for someone. Find out why your neighbor doesn't have it. You can pay for someone, let someone get it. In a house like this where all of us are filled with the Holy Spirit, everybody should get one. Now, journaling is very, very important. Journaling helps you, it helps you to keep the flow. Then we can check the journals later. That's why I'm going to this book instantly. Do you know that sometimes, may I say that if you want to hear the voice of God, you must use the four all the time. You must use the four. You must use the four together. All right? Now, going forward, do you know that sometimes you are just in the bathroom taking your bath and spontaneous thought runs through your mind? Capture it somewhere. Some of you have smartphones. Record it. Voice it. Sometimes, I'm not talking about dreams interpretation, but you wake up sometimes in the middle of the night and you know this is a revelation. Take it. Capture it. You might not be able to write it. Record it and keep it. You will need it. All right? Going forward, I want you to open up to page 4 so that we can finish this a little bit. It says, I have finished Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1. Did you understand that? Did you understand that? Okay, so we will just have time, activation time, so that we can experience what I have just taught. He said the disparity between Christianity and the New Age religion is so tiny, but this little difference makes a big difference. Therefore, even though apparent similarities exist, a closer look shows great differences. Okay? If you look at that, you see that the difference between us, I don't know whether you were here when I was talking about the New Age. I was doing a research of the New Age and discovered that there are tiny differences. All right, giving you this as a takeaway, Christians have different foundation. If you're a Christian, our foundation is the Bible. So when we journal, we must come and ask ourselves, what we have journal, is it in the Bible? Not only is it in the Bible, does it agree with biblical principles? I might not find it in the Bible verbatim. If you have a prophetic word or a vision, we must ask ourselves, this word you got or this dream you got, is it consistent with biblical principles? And if it's not consistent with biblical principles, we must be able to discard it. There have been cases, places where someone comes to tell me, say, I had the Lord spoke to me. I said, what did God tell you about? He said, God told me that, when I was quite young, some people came to meet me and said that God said that they will marry Archbishop Idahosa's first son. And so some of them have bought their wedding gown and have kept, and God gave them a date. This one said God gave him 31st of October. This one said God gave him, there are about 5 or 6 women bought their wedding gown that, I said, I think God should tell him, because you're not the one that will go and tell him,
I don't think I'm the one that said, Pastor Ben, please, I want to marry you. It doesn't make sense. And then you find out again that someone says that God told him that the pastor's wife is a witch, that the pastor will drive the wife and marry you. It's not in the Bible. God told you that you should put away your wife and marry the sister in the choir. Like Pastor Ben's colleagues sometimes will do. Put away the sister and marry the sister in the choir. God does not cause confusion. The new thing in church now that God says that the usher sister or the choir sister is your wife to be. That since you people have agreed to marry, that by the agreement of your spirits, that two of you can be having worship at having worship clouds. In fact, someone told his life group leaders that the level he has entered in God, that if he commits fornication now, is not a sin. There are so many things, there are so many God said that is going on. Friends, anything you hear, please, you must ask it. Ask yourself whether it has its foundation in the Bible. The second one is that our goal is different from those of the New Age religion. Our own goal is divine ink. Their own goal is spirit consciousness. In our fellowship with the Holy Spirit, fellowship with Jesus, fellowship with the Father, we want to experience our Father in real time. Many of us have never really experienced this Christianity we profess. We have read it, but we have never experienced it. You know, Pastor Ben says, program the moon, program the sun, program the stars. Actually program it and see if it works. That's what I mean by experiencing it. You have heard of angels. Majority of us have never experienced angels going on an errand for you. For those of us who are believers, ours is divine encounter. For those of them who are not believers, new agers, theirs is spirit and spirit consciousness. They come into a place where they leave their body and they find themselves in some of those places. That is not Christianity. We have two different processes. When we want to process ourselves, it is based on our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Theirs is, they sing, and then they get into something. We relate with the Holy Spirit. Theirs is, they get into something. For us, it's not the same thing. So you need to check these things when you are on a journey to hear from God. So that you don't tell yourself, you see, you are reading, I'm teaching, you are reading. I'm teaching you, that's dishonor. Look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor, stop reading. You are dishonoring pastor. Put everybody in shape. Put everybody together. Put everybody in shape. Tell the person, are you ready? See, if you can read it, no need to teach. We just close. If you know what it is, we just close. Don't you think so? I will just save my breath. All right? So let's look at the biblical safeguards for hearing the voice of God. So, one, how many of us are born again? If you're born again, say amen.
Amen.
If you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, say amen.
Amen.
If you have been washed by his blood, say amen.
Amen.
We're not saying that unbelievers cannot hear the voice of God. Nebuchadnezzar heard the voice of God. Pharaoh heard the voice of God. So, when you pray, you can even tell God, let Buhari, talk to Buhari, so he'll hear the voice of God. All right? Beautiful. Number two, the next safeguard is that you must accept the Bible as everything. Ladies and gentlemen, why are we saying accept the Bible as everything? Majority of us have accepted some parts of the Bible, but have not accepted some parts. Till today, there are still some people who have not accepted tithing because they feel that pastor is using the tithing to buy shoes and buy clothes. So many of us have accepted the Bible, but life group. Say, I accept everything in the Bible, oh, but life group, where is it in the Bible? Where is it in the Bible? The Bible said they met at the temple court, and then they also met in one another's houses. And you know, sometimes we read these things, and then when we get to those things that we don't do, we just close our eyes. If you want to make sure that you hear well, you must say, everything this Bible says, I accept them. Each time you do something, somebody ask me, is kissing a sin? You know in your heart, if kissing is a sin or not. Someone asked, someone said, but okay, please. I do everything, no, I have done everything. It's only enter, I didn't enter. Is it a sin? You know that my permission is not your permission. My permission is not your permission. The day you ask me, is drinking whiskey is a sin? The day you ask me that question, it means that something is telling you, don't drink. Anyone that asks me, Pastor, should I go to the hospital? Go. Don't ask me, because it's not my faith. My faith and your own are not the same. He said, Pastor, I'm having headache, but I don't know whether I should go to the hospital. Should I go? I'm not Holy Spirit. The next point. You demonstrate your love and respect for God by your commitment to knowing His word. Someone say, happy 80 chapters. You better stand up now. You better stand up. Tell someone, happy 80 chapters. Stand up and greet them. Hallelujah. Did I say anything wrong? You demonstrate, hallelujah, you demonstrate your love and respect for God by your commitment to knowing His word. Ladies and gentlemen, how do you show God you love Him? The Bible says by knowing His word. Remember, I was going to teach you on knowing. The critical foundation for your belief and your behavior is knowing who you are. The critical foundation. In fact, let me complete it. The critical foundation for knowing, for your belief and your behavior is, first of all, knowing who you are and knowing who God is in relationship with who you are. That is what determines your belief. That is what determines your behavior. One, knowing who God is in relationship to who you are, and then knowing who you are. You may be surprised that if I go from one chair to chair today and ask you, who is God to you? If you say Father, your heart will say, you know you're lying. If you say my God, your heart will say you have spoken the truth. Because God, even devil calls Him God. Everybody calls Him God. If you say, they say, what is Jesus to you? He say, He's my Savior, my Redeemer, my King, and my friend. Your heart will say, you just lied. And if there is any devil around you, the devil will say, I thought I was the biggest liar. Today, someone just lied above me. Because your body knows, say, God. You know, pass here. It is in my village, we are doing catechism. And in St. Eugene, they were training us to go and receive Holy Communion. And they said, oh, tuchuku, ekwem no tuchuku. It's a simple song. He said, do you believe in God? Yes, we believe in God. So our catechism message was saying, in the Holy Spirit, yes, we believe in God. And a madman was part. I can't forget it. We are preparing for Holy Communion. Small children. Ni we don't know is just on your. They were teaching us. Madman was passing. A madman was, you know, the choir, our catechism master will say something. We will rest, that kind of thing. Responsora. He said, our catechism master will say, do you believe in the Holy Spirit? We say, yes, we believe in God. Do you believe in the apostles? Yes, we believe in God. Do you believe in resurrection? Madman, they pass. Just to my lips. We didn't know that madman was saying, we know the answer. Now, one of us was saying, one, I hear waiting, madman, they talk. Now, madman, they chorus. And you know, we were even laughing. And madman said, just a man list. We are shouting, hey, we believe in God. Now I can see this picture. I say, all of you are very stupid. Say, how can madman be saying that your belief no pass your lips? Who not the answer? There are many of us in church when you say, God is my Father. The whole earth will say, hey? Who took him? So for us to save ourselves that problem, 80 chapters of the Bible has come. At least make an attempt. At all, I'm a witchcraft attack.
No, say, I'm not going to read anyone. Make I just sit down for God. They are not asking the person, have you read? Have you read? You are not. Are you signpost that is showing people Bob Israel's house, but you are not going? Praise the Lord. The number five, he says, you have an attitude of submission to what God has shown you from the Bible. There's no need. When me and Ben were getting married, we said to ourselves, every argument in this home is resolved by what the Word of God says. So when we have argument, you know, when two people who are intelligent marry, argument, Ebenine, Solomon, everywhere. In the Bible days, there was only one Solomon. When you see two Solomon in one place, an argument, he will, Pastor Ben, he used to argue. Hey, argument. Pastor Ben will argue and buttress it with Bible, and buttress it with bank, and buttress it with John Maxwell. I said, this ordinary argument of ours. He said, no, let me just oppose. I said, no, you're not preaching, is that hope? We said, no, in this house, every argument, before we begin to blow, then everybody will, ah, mama, no beat papa, now papa. No. Say, no, we will dissolve it with the word. What did the word say about it? If we find it, whoever held that position, whether a man or woman, is right. So we must come to a point where you submit yourself to what the word of God says. Number five, you have two or three spiritual advisors to whom you go for input. Listen to me. The Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every matter be established. There must be two or three people that are speaking into your life. If you want to make major decision, you want to change, go through a transition, there must be three. And those three, you won't say, hey, this one has money, make a writer. Is the one that will be advising me. No. There must be people that you say, these are my spiritual advisors that advise me. In the multitude of counsel, there is what? Safety. A fairly young Christian can meet all these requirements. It only takes a day and a half to read through the New Testament. And the rest of the requirements can be met upon conversation. It is wonderful if new believers begin communing with God during the early days of their spiritual walk. Who are the people who are in charge of new converts in Firm Foundation? Our churches, at the body of Christ, we seem to be having miscarriage. People give their life to Christ, they are not taken care of. So I want to address the people in charge of membership. Please look at that. Who are the people who are taking care of new converts? God doesn't ask us, because if he asks me, I'll say, hold on, let me bring membership director to you. The people who are giving their life to Christ, we must carry them like they carry a newborn baby until they grow. We must nurture them. Praise the Lord. So you see, you have things here for you to answer. So let's go to, all this is supposed to be done in 1 week, eh? Okay, I'll just do the ones I can, and then you pick up with the rest. Spiritual counselors, obey. The word obey, allow yourself to be persuaded by your leaders and submit to them, for they watch over your soul and will give account. Let them do this with joy and not grief, for this will be unprofitable to you. Now, if you have something you said God has spoken to you, and remember that the last point is that you should journal it, you should write it down. There are 4 points. The first point is what? Quiet. Quiet yourself. Be quiet. The second one is look for vision. The third one is recognize the voice of spirit. The third one is journal. Now, that thing you journal, you must submit it to three people. That's what I'm trying to say. You must say, look at what, please read this and see whether it follows the Bible, whether it agrees with the principles of the Bible. You don't write and keep. So that you don't wake up one day and say, God says you marry Pastor Derek. There must be three people who must look at it with you and say, this works and this does not work. All right? Now, I'm going to say something very, very critical to Firm Foundation. Allow yourself to be persuaded by your leaders. That's what Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 is. Allow yourself. There's a message Pastor Ben preached on the day, Thanksgiving Sunday, was really talking about how to honor your pastor. Allow yourself to be persuaded by your leaders. And he told you why. He says, for they watch over your soul. So your pastor or whoever it is, your leaders, the people that we have committed leadership into their hands, have a responsibility to watch over your soul. What do I mean by your soul? Your mind, your will, your emotions. Your pastor, your leaders have that responsibility. That's why the Bible says, allow yourself, let them persuade you. Then the Bible says, let them do this with joy and with grief, and not grief. You know, if you have a bad decision, you're making a bad decision, we call you to order and you refuse to listen to that instruction, our heart is grieved. When you go and become unprofitable, our heart is broken. I'm going to say it again. You know, in this church, we give you state. You are free to take advice. You are free not to. But advice we must give you. We say, Pastor Charlie, come. Look at this, so-and-so. This kind of car you have bought. I don't think you should have bought this car now. Maybe you shouldn't have bought this car. A pastor is jealous of me. When you do that, we are grieved though. But when you go and become unprofitable, our heart is broken. And that is not good for you. Now, I was giving a young lady advice when I just got married. She was doing her head like Lisa that just jumped out of this thing. And I asked her, I said, do you think I want to marry this boy? And the angelic advice, I can't give you lower. Did I give you this advice to collect the boy and marry? I said, I'm married. And I married a boyoyo. The person I married is a guy. That is, you can put him on display. So I don't want to collect the one. So that it go better for you. That's why we give you advice. Because sometimes when you give advice, we think we want to dominate you. You think we want to take over your life and live. It is for your good. So that you will not become unprofitable. This work we are doing, we want to do with joy. Sometimes when you see some of your children, ask Pastor, he will shed tears. He said, now me pastor this person to this point. I've seen Pastor Ben call somebody who said, I accept, I failed in your life as a pastor. Please, I beg you, go to another church. For a leader to come to that point, it means that he must have cried with God. His heart must have been torn severally. For him to come to a point where he said, I accept, I failed. I don't think many people can be that. Many people say it's your fault. I've seen him do that several times. And then sometimes he say, I accept I didn't do well in your... Come, let me begin to teach you. Give me a mission like this. You know, sometimes I feel that the people in GRA Church, it's like they brought all of you from one mountain. They went to somewhere and say, all the people that when you tell them something, you go talk and faint. Get up. Or you come this way. I'm sure maybe when Pastor Ben got the vision of the cave of Adullam, the Lord began to find the discontented, the frustrated, the depressed, the stubborn, the guana, the... I'm sure God put them together. Oh yeah, Pastor Ben, stay in front. Oh yeah, come on. You say you want to cure desert places. This is the desert places to cure. So what some pastors will say once, the church members will hear, Pastor Ben will put it in culture, he put it in slide, he put it in drama, he put it in comedy. May God help you. Amen. And so we prophesy that you hear. Amen. So we speak your prophetic, say we hear. Amen. Say we hear. Amen. Say we hear. Amen. Shout it very loud. Amen. Shout it very loud. Amen. So after some time, some of them will say, Mama, thank God though, if not that you came into our life, they told Pastor Ben, one of his sons said, Pastor, if not that God brought you, by now would have been armed robber on the street. I said, Pastor, no need. Since it means that when people say they took people from Egypt, you went up there. When they reach Egypt, they are tried. People brought some of their church members from Egypt. You went to Afghanistan to bring them. So if you're able to bring them to Egypt, they are super Christians. Oh. That is why you must hear church members. Put your ear, say from today, I will hear. Say, I will hear. Shout it, say, I will hear. Do you know the Bible says, in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. Wow, firm foundation. In the multitude of counsel. I'm sure you should be able to read this. It will help you. When you get home, just spend time and read it. It will help you. I just want to lead us to pray. There are questions here to answer. By tomorrow, we're going to take the practical part of how to hear from God. Some time back, many years back, a young girl was trying to get married to someone. I just looked at her and I said, this person is, the year was, and I said, this person is not your husband. She got angry. How can you say so? Because you don't mind, no one make her marry. And left the church. I wish I didn't say it. Because rejection is painful. I'm sure when you see us, you think it's water that is flowing through our this. I felt bad. I said, if I knew, I wouldn't have said this, prophet. I've swallowed the prophet. Now, Pastor Messi, they say, if you see this thing, don't come. I said, no, I've said it now. This guy has left church. Now, me drive him for church. 7 years after, I saw the girl. And I was with Pastor Peter. Pastor Peter said, I said, hey, hi, it's her husband. He's a husband. The marriage ended in 3 months. I said, 3 months ago. He said, when she left church, married, went to another church, the marriage ended in 3 months. I said, why didn't she come back? He said, if not you go come back. Hey, FM builders, no. We're ready to pray. You need to hear the voice of God. You need to hear the voice. We must hear something. Some few, 4 years ago, one of my daughters brought her friends cajoled her. Come and see mama. Let her. Hearing the voice of God is very important. Let her. So they came after some time. Say, I'm afraid of mama. Say, at least go. She's not a masculine. She won't eat you. She got there. I saw the boy and greeted the boy, talked with the boy very nicely. The boy was leaving. I called the friend that brought her. I said, this is not the husband. When I told them the story, now, this is a case where everybody in the family have accepted this. The relationship has gone on for a long time. I said, this is not the husband. And I left it like that. Anyway, but she is a girl that hears the voice of her mother. She didn't think that my voice is the voice of Turkey. She took that, this thing, and left that relationship. And even when the family members, she said, no, she can't be lying. What does she stand to gain? Do you know that last month, that boy she would have married died? Not only did the boy die, the wife that he eventually married, as at the time he died, is pregnant with the child. The girl lifted her hand, obe, and said to herself, assuming I didn't listen, what do you think Pastor Ben gains when he tells you, draw your trouser up? Maybe go tell and say, police is catching those way sack trouser. Gay say, my ear, you say, I know what I'm doing. Oh, you forgot here. You have not carried it to the market, nobody bought. Open your mouth, say, from today, I will hear. That's why we're teaching you the voice of God, so that when your pastor talks, once the Lord has spoken, twice I have heard. It means you heard it twice. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are sons of God. Rise on your feet. Everybody lift up your hands and just begin to bless him. Just bless him. I'm hearing the song. You are beautiful in all your ways. May we never lose our wonder. I don't know. I just saw you praying for one another.